Welcome back, everyone, to Beyond 180 Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gaines, and I'm also joined by...
Hi, this is Jose.
Yes. And we're excited because in this episode, we're speaking with John Rivera, who is the Vice President of Talent Acquisition. And I think, especially in light of all of the growth and the changes that are happening within our organization, talking to John and getting his thoughts on what does it mean for leaders to acquire the right talent to build their teams and create high-performing, high-potential teams to assist the growth of our organization is really going to be key here. So, actually, Jose, what do you think our listeners will enjoy the most from today's episode?
Yeah, I think the same as finding that person is that's the right fit for the role and the culture. Because for us as manager, that's one of the things that is hard to look for, that the person, not only the skills, but that is the right fit for the company and the culture of the company.
Yeah, ditto. I feel the same way because we do things a little bit differently here and it's a different atmosphere, obviously in a great way, from other organizations, and we're always innovating and we're always forward thinking. So finding someone who's going to be just as excited as you are or as your current team members is going to be really important. So in today's episode, we'll be talking to John Rivera, as I mentioned, and we'll be covering things like how do you identify when to create or even fill a position on your team? As we talked about, our company is going through a lot of changes, a lot of growth. And so it's going to be up to you as a leader to be constantly assessing what do you need on your team to assist that growth. We'll also be talking about how do you avoid common hiring mistakes. And there's some tools out there like DDI's targeted selection. And lastly, how can you best
partner? Was that a plug?
That was a plug. And lastly, how you can best partner with our recruiting team so that you can find the right people to fit our culture. I think you'll enjoy this episode.
Yeah, and there might be something as a bonus at the end of the episode.
Ah, yes, yes. As a hint, DD to go, watch out.
And in there I found some certificate from Brookhaven Community College. Mm-hmm. I must have been 8 or 9 years old, yeah. From intro to beginning guitar, I got a B.
Yeah.
And so at least then, at least since I was 8 or 9.
Yeah. Okay. So good chunk of time then.
Yeah, nice chunk of time. Absolutely.
All right. My sister would be very jealous. She is quite the musician, and she always loves to see like new instruments and things like that. So I might, if you don't mind, I might have to take a picture and send it to her.
Sure.
And say, hey, look what I got to see today. She's going to be super jealous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We definitely thought of you, especially when thinking about the topic of does the shoe fit, right? So as leaders, what does it mean to choose the right talent for your teams to make sure that you're growing a high-performing, high-potential team and a team that's going to fulfill the vision that you have set forth for your department and even for the organization,
right? Sure.
And especially now since the growth roadmap has come out, we
right
have
on.
Our 5 strategies,
yes.
that we need to fulfill as an organization to continue our path to be the number one timeshare company or the best loved brand in the world. I'm excited.
Oh, absolutely. It's an exciting time to be here.
Yeah. Your new role, congratulations, by the way.
Thanks very much.
That you're taking on is as Vice President of Talent Acquisition and Retention. You've obviously been with the company for a while. How
9
long
years.
Have you been? 9 years.
9 years here. Yeah.
And as Senior Director in Human Resources, yeah?
Correct. Until last month, Senior Director of Human Resources for the corporate office and our marketing call center. So that's rounding the bend to half the company, a little
yeah.
under, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And definitely it's been a pleasure working with you.
Absolutely.
Because you took part in helping to select the listeners that we actually have that are going to be listening to this podcast.
Indeed.
So for those of you in those areas, say thank you.
I played some small role.
That's true. Right. And then in your experience, having been on the human resources side, there's some policies and procedures that maybe you have to follow.
Sure.
and some regulations, maybe some legal things, and also maybe assisting leaders in the offboarding or exiting of their team members. Has that given you a new or different perspective to the talent acquisition and retention role, as opposed to maybe someone else who maybe didn't spend as much time on the human resources side and maybe more time on the talent acquisition side?
Certainly. You know, there are several areas in human resources. You have the part you're in, training, organizational development, kind of the generalist part, and you have the HRIS component, the benefits and compensation component, and the talent acquisition and retention component. The more you know about any of those, the better you're going to be in your chosen area. So learning more about HRIS, compensation and benefits, OD, and talent acquisition makes you a better director of human resources. And the converse is true. So the more I know about all the other facets makes me better in my role in talent acquisition. And I go one further. It's really important to know about the core business. So whether your company sells timeshare or crowbars, understanding what your product is, who the end user is, how you go to market, what your distribution channel is, how the product is financed, is all going to help you be a better trainer, a better talent acquisition specialist, a better accountant, a better project manager, better Java developer, whatever is your chosen profession. It's important to understand the cores of your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And understanding what the business is will help you as a leader know maybe when to backfill or fill a position on your team, maybe when to create a position. Definitely for my evolving leaders that are listening, they've been through the process of hiring someone for their team before. But for my emerging leaders who are aspiring to be frontline leaders or managers, right, that could be a very scary idea of creating a new position for their team. It could be very scary to think about having to fill a position, especially when maybe a high-performing team member has exited the company. Would you be able to shine some light on when is it appropriate for a leader to create a whole new position, and or when is it appropriate to maybe not create or even backfill a position?
Sure. So if you've read the growth roadmap, and if you haven't, I would encourage you to do so, you know that we want to evolve into an extremely customer-centric organization. And to help us do that, we realized we needed to hire some folks to do some work who's never been done before. So I think 2 weeks ago, we hired a gal by the name of Bea Sarmiento. She is Senior Director of Research and Insights. Now, we've never had a Senior Director of Research and Insights before. And she's going to do some important work for us. So we had to create a brand new position. We had to come up with a job description of what the core function of this job was going to be. We had to work with our compensation department to look at what a job like this might fetch out on the open market. So we priced it accordingly in the right geographical area. And then we had to do some back-end work to create the position in our human resources information system. And then we had to go to market, you know, post the position and go find one of these people. And we struck gold when we found Bea, that's for sure. So if you're going to do something different and brand new, that's the process you have to go through. And we're doing new things all the time.
Right.
We have all kinds of new positions that have just simply not existed before. On the other side, if you're a new leader and someone leaves your organization, you might be backfilling that role. And the key choice here is, one, do you actually still need that role? Or do you need to alter the role in some format? If you, as an example, have a regional accountant, and over time, you know, you realize that region has doubled or tripled in size, you might not need a regional accountant. You might need two accountants and maybe some kind of accounting manager to oversee that. So you have to kind of evaluate how your business has evolved in one direction or another before you just say, okay, Johnny, the housekeeper left, so I need another housekeeper. You know, you have to look at, well, what's my forecast? Is the occupancy going up? Are we going into the off season? Maybe I don't need another housekeeper right now. Maybe I need to hold off for 3 months. Or maybe I need more than one. We are unusually busy and way above forecast. And I think these are the important considerations when you're making a decision to bring someone into the organization.
Absolutely. And I love the points that you're making about really paying attention to the strategies that the organization has set forth and taking a look at those. Because to your point, if you had a certain position on your team and maybe that person is left, maybe you don't backfill that specific position, but now you move forward in creating something totally different or new, recreating the job description so that it fulfills that position and some. So absolutely, that's really cool.
There is, when you are putting together your process or decision for bringing someone in, you want to get it right the first time. Mm-hmm. You don't want to spend a lot of time and effort looking for something and then realizing you've been fishing for the wrong fish. And that's frustrating for you, frustrating for us.
Right.
We want to get it right the first time. What is it we're looking for? Let's all agree on it, and then let's go find someone who fits that bill.
Right. Continuing that thought about, you know, you end up fishing and you maybe you catch a turtle instead of, you know, a large, I don't know, what's in the lakes these days, bass, trout?
Sure, bass, trout, yeah. Catfish.
Right. Catfish. I mean, I do like catfish, but I understand that they're a hassle. But anyway, I digress. So what are some of the most common mistakes then that leaders tend to make when they decide, okay, I'm going to hire, and then they do? What are those mistakes that end up happening that maybe lead to the turtle instead of the bass?
Absolutely. So I'm going to focus on mistakes that would be or are often made by new leaders.
Right.
Okay. There's a different set of mistakes that are made by people who've been leading for a long time. The first involves the interview process and simply not following a strong interview process. We use targeted selection from the firm DDI. It's a renowned product. It works extremely well if you use it as intended. So you'd have to go through training, understand how the system works, but it is an excellent selection tool. So first, tightening up your interview process, and that'll prevent you from making very common errors of attribution. As an example, if I say, okay, I am a good accountant and I went to UF, I want to hire a good accountant, therefore I will hire someone who went to UF. That is a recipe for disaster. There are wonderful accountants who come from UF, but there are plenty who are not. And so you don't want to make that kind of attribution. Or the reverse would be, the last person I hired from IBM didn't work out, so I don't ever want to hire someone from IBM.
Mm-hmm.
The IBM is probably not the deciding factor in how that person didn't work out. So if you use the interview process correctly, you'll avoid these attribution errors as you go through the process. Another common error is with valuation of the decision itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are hiring a $15 an hour person, you're not making a $15 decision. If that person stays with you for 3 or 4 or 5 years, you're making a $180,000 decision. And so you need to weigh that accordingly.
Wow.
It's not a $15 decision that you're making.
Right.
Lastly, I would say all candidates come with positives and negatives. And the thing is, when you hire from the outside, you simply don't know what those are. But when you hire from the inside, you do know what those are. And we know a lot about our employees. We know what their disposition is. Do they fit the culture? What kind of team dynamic do they need? How's their performance been over the last several years? And I would strongly encourage folks to first look at the 5,000 plus employees we already have here.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at bringing someone into your organization, you can already ensure that they're a good culture fit, they have a strong work ethic, and that kind of thing. And so if you are looking for a front desk manager and you happen to know there's a very good F&B manager, you might chat that person up and say, hey, why don't you come join my team? You know, we got a good thing going. We'd love to have you. So I would always say first look at your own organization and don't overlook that wonderful pool of talent.
Absolutely. And in that case, would that be a way for new leaders or even leaders who have experience with hiring, would that be an opportunity for them to partner with the talent acquisition and retention team to take a look at who's out there, maybe take a look at their talent profiles somehow?
So the short answer would be yes.
Right.
We have a ton of information about our employees. There's the talent profile work we've done in our succession planning.
Mm-hmm.
And we can oftentimes find folks who are ready for a new position, have the background you're looking for, and for whatever reason have raised their hand and say, I want to move to Gatlinburg. So there may be a pool of folks right here that we could help you out with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know I met a leader out at Mount Escutney, and
mm-hmm.
she came from, I believe, Scottsdale, Arizona, our Scottsdale property. And when I asked her, I said, you know, what made you make the change from being a front desk specialist over in Scottsdale to becoming a front desk manager in Mount Escutney? She said, you know, I came out here on sort of a temporary assignment. I fell in love with the place, never thought I would want to stay, but but I expressed interest. They needed someone and ended up staying out there. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was incredible because usually when you meet someone who's been on the West Coast, they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And nice they certainly, place. Right. And they certainly don't want to go. They tend to not want to go that far, right, up north. But, you know, all of the place, I think all of the places where our resorts are located have definitely something to offer. And you never know. You never know who you could end up snatching away and pulling in to join your team. Right?
Absolutely. You know, most people think very parochially when they look at employees. So, you know, I think I have employees, but Barbara Wilcox thinks they're all her employees. And Tom Nelson thinks they're all his employees. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure Mr. Wilson just thinks they're all his employees. And we're all part of the same team.
Absolutely. One more question I have for you. Would you be able to name three ways that a leader can develop and build a high-performing team?
Sure.
I know, our evolving leaders may have some experience with this, so definitely a refresher for them. But for the emerging leaders, what are three things that they can keep in mind when they're thinking about, okay, I want to build a great team to really drive these strategies that have been outlined, and I want to keep up and I want to support the organization that I love. How do I make that happen with the hiring process?
Sure. First, I think you have to pay a lot of attention to your team dynamics. Mm-hmm. Every team is different. Every individual is different. And when I am putting together a team, I look at myself and what I need. But I want to find folks with attributes and skill sets that are not the same as mine, mm-hmm. but are complementary to mine. And so depending on what you do, that's going to guide your decision-making process. Conflict is truthfully normal, is something that needs to be managed, nipped in the bud quickly, but you shouldn't be afraid of that conflict. That is normal to have. And so again, that's just part of the team dynamic that needs to be appropriately managed. It won't go away if you ignore it, I'll tell you that. You have to be a big part of that process. I would say that you have to articulate a vision. And when you do that in a meaningful way that your employees can understand, that will guide their decisions. And so your employees invariably are going to make a lot of decisions on their own. They'll come ask you your thoughts on occasion, but they're going to make decisions and do things. And if you have a overall vision, that is going to help them make the decision that you want them to make. Mm-hmm. Like George Washington probably had a vision. It was get across the Potomac, right?
Right.
And so that meant everyone would be steering in the same direction, paddling in the same direction. They know where they're all going. And so it's you got to have a common vision. And then I think, not lastly, I mean, I probably should have started with this, but you really have to encourage your team's development.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, it's important to learn the business and take the time to learn different facets of the business. We have a great Academy of Learning Development. You want to take advantage of that. And the more you can help your team develop, frankly, the easier will be leading them, and it's kind of its own reward to the leader. So you should really encourage folks to take advantage of the opportunities we have. Build relationships with people in different departments. I'm a big fan of building relationships with people in the payroll department, for example. They're right. Wonderful people to know.
Never say anything bad about payroll.
No, you don't want to. But go out of your way to meet people in different departments, learn more, and push your employees to learn more, whether it's by continuing their education in college or continuing training here in the office.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important to note that by encouraging your team members to develop themselves, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're developing them to move on or like move up, for example. It really could be just growing their current skill set so that they can even offer more to the role. And ultimately to the vision and the goal.
Absolutely. Maintaining a high degree of proficiency in your chosen skill set is important. And when you develop, you're becoming better and better at what it is that you do. And you can do more. Your quality will go up. Your quantity will go up. And the better you get at things, the more fun they are
right.
to do. If you don't like shooting pool, it's because you're not very good at it. I guarantee you become good at it, you'll love shooting pool. And it's the same with work as well.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. And you hit me right here talking about the shooting pool because I'm terrible at it. And I wish I knew more. I should probably practice and develop myself.
There you go.
And then maybe I wouldn't hate it so much.
We'll play some eight ball after this.
Right. Now, I absolutely love this conversation. You definitely gave us some golden nuggets, especially, you know, kind of taking a step back, talking about finding people who compliment you as a leader, team members or your team within your team. You want team members who compliment you. That stuck out to me because usually when you hear about growing a proficient or productive, I guess, team, right? Usually you hear the word diversity thrown around in the sense of don't hire the same kind of person, kind of going back to what you said earlier where, oh, I studied accounting at UF. UF is awesome. I'm going to hire everyone from UF. Or I had a bad time with IBM. I'm never going to hire from them again. And you create this generalization and maybe you don't branch out and create this diversity. Usually people think of diversity as like exclusiveness, right? You have all these exclusive characteristics and you're pulling them in and you have no relation to them. And that's how you create sort of a profitable team. When in actuality, there's some benefit there, but that doesn't always have to be the case. You could be also looking for complementary team members as well, which absolutely. I think is really cool. So now I think we're ready to move on to our next segment,
okay,
which is called Beyond the Title, because I'm sure there are many team members, many leaders who are listening right now who are more than aware of who you are, right, within our organization. Maybe a few. You're pretty famous. Give yourself more credit. And in this segment, I like to ask a few questions just for our listeners to get to know you more and show a different side of our senior leaders within our organization. So are you ready for it?
Ready. Shoot.
All right.
What we got?
First question, what book are you currently reading?
So I'll give you a long answer here. Both my parents were English teachers, so reading was big in my family. And serious reading started at a very young age. So I am usually reading more than one book at the same time. I am rapidly coming to the end of a book called Longitude right now, which is about a guy named John Harrison, who invented the first reliable marine chronometer, which sounds dorky, I know, and is a little bit. But back in the old days, sailors had figured out how to measure latitude, but they couldn't figure out how to measure longitude. And the kings of England, Spain, France, Holland, and some other countries all put up some rewards for whoever could come up and figure out a way to figure out what the longitude is. And no one could do it. All the great minds were baffled, including Isaac Newton and many others. And lo and behold, this guy, John Harrison, who was a clockmaker, figured out that he could make a chronometer, and that could be used to find the longitude, which would mean not only could you get to the New World, but you would know if you're going to land in Galveston or Boston, which is helpful if you were sailing around the world. And the King of England, who he had petitioned for his prize money, was so furious that a lowly clockmaker had come up with a way to do this. He refused to pay. And while at the same time, all of the great navies of the world immediately implemented his idea, and it took the guy years to get paid his prize. So while it's technically about a clockmaker, I think it's more about how figuring out a complex problem, it can often be done using a fairly rudimentary solution.
Right.
And if you will stick to your convictions when you know you're right, you can actually solve some pretty interesting stuff. So,
yeah.
So I find it to be an interesting book.
It does sound interesting, and there's definitely some leadership lessons that you just pointed out from the book, right? I think a lot of times when we as leaders are presented with a problem, let's say maybe we overthink it and we get to a point where we think we have to come up with this overcomplicated solution for said problem, when in actuality it might be a little more simple than we thought. So to my listeners out there, Longitude, check it out. Next question. What are your hobbies when you're ready to unwind?
So I do a lot of cooking. In my house, I'm a big fan of cooking. I like hanging out a lot. That's definitely one of my hobbies. I could hang out all day long. The other thing is I play the guitar. Definitely how I kick back and relax on the patio in the evening.
Okay, and I see you brought it with you.
I did. I've got some friends who are going to come in, and they don't know what we're going to do. But with any luck, they will be able to help me pull off a song here in a minute.
Get out.
Yeah. Totally unrehearsed. I'm telling you, I just invited them to a meeting.
I'm so excited. Okay. If Dee Dee DeGo is listening, she's got some competition and she's probably going to ask to be back on with us. Or better yet, we should bring both of you together.
Dee Dee and I are good friends.
And do a duet or something.
So certainly would do.
Yeah.
We'll do a duo.
We would have part two of this episode, Jose.
Yeah.
All right, and lastly, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word. Okay, so I'll start with, here's a word I don't like much, is nuance.
Okay.
You don't know where you stand with that, but gesture, there's a good word. I like the word gesture. You know where you stand with gesture.
I like that. And also, I feel like nuance is used a lot, or it had been used
overly. Yeah, a lot and improperly, but yeah.
And especially for someone that grew up with English teachers as parents.
Yes.
I'm sure you have a very low tolerance for things like that, improper usage of words.
It immediately comes to mind whenever, you know, I just think of my parents saying, John, no, you can't use that word that way.
Oh, yes, yes. Get in a lot of trouble. I could see there were flashbacks there when you were thinking about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think we're good here.
We're good?
Yeah. Oh, they're here. It's time. We're going to have a show. Come on in.
Come on in, guys. Come on over here.
Come on, say hi. And you guys are here for something special, and I don't know what, so we'll
see. They don't know either.
We just follow and do what we're told.
Is it D minor? What do we do? Just give me a key, bro.
So he's going to lead.
So anyway, totally unrehearsed. I know you know what to do as soon as I start playing. I'm not much of a singer, so I'm needing help.
Oh, no.
I need a lot of help from my Latin contingent, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm expecting a lot.
It's good to be Italian right now, then.
Everyone's going to know what we're doing here in a second, but I'm expecting big things from California, man. Swimming pools and people stuff.
So I would like to just point out that Jose and I do a good bit of preparation before each interview. And we talk to our guests beforehand. We present them with some of the questions and even the topic and objectives that we'd like to cover before each interview. And the jam session at the end of this interview was a complete surprise, not only to me, but I think to you too, Jose.
When I saw the guitar, I was surprised. I didn't know what to expect.
Right. He walked into the interview session with the guitar, and we were like, what is going on? And I am so glad he brought it. It was really cool. Yep. As I mentioned, Didi, you've got some competition out there.
Or maybe a jam session in the future.
You know what? I like that mindset. Collaboration. Let us know if you'd like for us to have a jam session between John Rivera and Didi DeGo. I think that would be awesome as a special episode. So let us know. Write us. You can write to againes@holidayandclub.com or academyld@holidayandclub, and let us know if you'd like to hear a jam session between John and Didi.
Maybe that's the way that we're going to do the next series. We have to find like person that have a musical talent, and by the end of the series we put them all together and create a song.
I like that. It's like a talent show.
Yeah, a super band.
Creating a whole band. Right here through expansions / beyond 180. That's awesome. As John talked about, there are definitely some things that you want to keep in mind as a leader, and especially finding the right people who fit your team, right? You want to be paying attention to the roadmap, because that's going to be a huge clue as to what sort of hiring trends you should be looking for and how you should go about searching for the right team member to fit your team. And also, again, to support the growth and the changes that we're making as an organization to be even better. Now, during John's interview, he also made a shameless plug, in addition to the plug I made earlier in the intro. But he made a plug for DDI's targeted selection. So I just want to throw out there for any of our listeners, if you're interested in taking that class, please keep on the lookout for that course to be available. We usually post it in my academy and on the calendar, or you're more than welcome to reach out to a member of our team and get more information about that course, because it's definitely a game changer when it comes to properly interviewing and vetting the right team member for the organization. Thank you all again for joining us today. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast by visiting academyld.com/beyond180. And also, don't hesitate to give us some feedback regarding any leaders that you'd like for us to interview, as well as any topics that you'd like for us to cover, by keeping an eye out for the B180 newsletter and clicking on the B180 podcast request form. For Beyond 180, this is Alex.
This is Jose.
We'll talk to you soon.